Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, D'Andrea. Goldberg's out today. I've invited my good friend, Brad Fanshaw from Bondspeed Wheels. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. As we're recording this, you just had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I just feel younger today. Yeah, that's what it is.
Just feel younger every day.
Yeah.
Great. Wanted to just kind of get into a few things. First and foremost, those of you that have been following on social media already, I've got the SAC Mustang, the MK1, up on Bring a Trailer. You know, it's not something that I want to sell. I get a lot of that. It's like, why are you selling it? Why are you selling it? And quite simply, you know, we have a beverage company, Bravago, and I want to put money into that company. So that's what you do with it with an investment car, is because it was a car that I was really driving. I wanted to be able to put some into this company. As you guys have seen, we have hard seltzers. You can go onto the website, you can order it. We're starting to get into a few stores, but I really have some new product ideas. I want to launch some new products. And to do that, I've got to pay for it. And to pay for it, I have to sell stuff. And to sell stuff, that means I'm going to have to sell the SAC Mustang. It's number 50. They built 62 plus a few prototypes. So some people say 65, some people say 64, but I don't know. According to the documents from the SAC registry, there was 62 plus some prototypes. And I thought they all had the Kenwood cassette radio, but apparently they didn't. And mine is one of six that was optioned with that. So if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you can see the car because we're kind of scrolling through some of the images of it
Back in the day, Kenwood was, I mean, that was the setup, you know, so that was a cool option.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was just a cassette. You know, what's interesting is I got the window sticker for this thing. It was almost $42,000 in the day. And then the year later, when the 93 Cobra came out, it was half the cost. It was like $20,000, $21,000. So throwing the Ford Motorsport parts catalog at it was more expensive than building it from the factory. I just wanted to find that sheet. Scrolling through all the images where, so 62 cars built and then six prototypes, 64 of them were numbered cars. Anyway, it's all there. You can kind of interpret it however you want, by just going through what's listed from the SAC registry, but one of six with a Kenwood cassette player. I didn't know that. That was kind of interesting to me.
You know why? Because back then everybody thought, oh, I can throw a stereo in myself. You know, why have it optioned with that? Probably, you know, because that was a super easy thing. It was before all of the, you know, double din and all of the craziness of utilizing, you know, your wiring harness for so many different functions. Putting in a stereo was a simple option.
This is Oh, maybe I'll just turn the sound off here. But just kind of looking at the videos that I posted, I did a walk around of the car. But when I got it, just because it was sitting and had a little bit of miles on it, I did all the dry ice blasting. And I know I've talked about this on the show. And Brad, we've talked about it quite a bit. But I don't know if
Yeah.
you've seen the process.
I have. I checked it out after we talked about it because I was thinking on some of the cars that I own, it might be useful in certain areas. And it's a great process because you can control it so much easier than like a other types of media blasting.
Yeah, and you can clean a door panel. You can clean we did the hood liner of the car, so it's gentle on that, and then underneath all the guck and the grime and everything was removed from the car, and it made it really clean. Now, it's not inexpensive to do. Like, depending on how much you want to do, it could be a couple thousand bucks to get it done. And there are But for me, I think it's worth it. For a collector car like this that only has 3,631 miles on it, I think it's worth doing. So, I got some. I was getting photos of the engine. When they do the dry ice blasting, all the little grooves on the GT40 intake, all in there, and all around, like the power steering reservoir, all the. That seeps, like it does such a good job cleaning everything on it that I thought it would be worth doing. So
It
anyway.
also brings the some of the hoses and wires back to life a little bit. It gives them a real
Yeah.
nice appearance.
It does. And then see this picture on the firewall where there's two bolts holding on
With
the
the
strut
factory
tower brace.
markings.
Yeah, so it can clean everything, and the factory like paint pen markings and stuff that you've seen, it retains all of that. So it's a really cool process. But anyway, it was pretty much the only thing that I did to the car. And then changing all the fluids because it was sitting for a while. Again, it's a 92 and it's got 3,600 miles on it. I really don't know if anybody changed the oil or when or whatever. So I went through and did all the fluids, coolant, brake fluid, diff, transmission, oil. I just did everything on it, just to kind of freshen it up. And I put 20 miles on it in 2 years.
There you
So
go.
not a lot, but anyway, the car is
Now, does
there.
it
It's
have
on
the
Bring a Trailer.
factory air in the tires?
No, I replaced the tires. So the tires, when I got the vehicle, the tires weren't original. And that's an interesting point though, Brad, because I know you're joking, but now people are going back and buying the original tires, like new old stock, trying to find the original tires for things. But when I
Sure.
bought the car, it didn't have original tires on it, and the ones that were on were old. And I just didn't want this thing to be dangerous in any way, especially if somebody wanted to drive it. So I put new tires on it. I didn't put like the most expensive Michelins or something on it because I didn't think people were going to drive it much, if even if they did. But it's got new tires on it.
And if you're going to drive it at all, you
Yeah.
should, because all it takes is one tire blowing out because it's rotted, and then you're going to damage a wheel or worse, go into a curb or something and damage the car. So it's not worth
I
it.
mean, listen, this is what happened to Paul Walker and Roger Rodas. I mean, they took out the Carrera GT. Old tires that were hard as a rock, gave it a little throttle, and it was just running on like aluminum discs. Basically, at that point, you're just running
Hey,
on
we
hard
spoke on
pieces of
shift and
plastic.
steer
Yeah.
about hard tires and what they can do to a boat trailer. So, I mean, they could
Yep.
really mess up your day.
Yes. They can mess up your day. Actually, when I got my black Ford Lightning painted, and I trailered it out to a shop. And it was a ways out there from LA. It was out past Ray's shop at Full Throttle Custom. So
Yeah, that's a ways
past
out.
Magic Mountain and stuff. And I borrowed the trailer from one of the guys at the shop. And I think it blew two of the four tires on the way up there. So I had to put all new tires on it. And then I just left the trailer while they painted it and drove home, and then went back and grabbed the trailer and in the truck all at once. But yeah, I've been through this process as no, well. Trailers get neglected, man. I'm telling you, you park them for a while, you forget
out
about
and
them.
Kind of don't think, and sometimes you can't even remember when you put the tires on. My car trailer, I left it in Arizona at my place for a while, and I threw a car on it, and I got back, and I got so lucky because I literally backed into my driveway with the car, and one of the tires went boom, and I went, oh man, that could have happened anywhere, you know. So
wow, that's like a Blues Brothers moment at the end where they finally stopped the car, then the whole thing just fell apart into pieces.
And then that trailer sat there for like a year with one blown out tire. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think when we park trailers like that, when they get parked outside, you know, the sun as well just really ruins the tires, just the damage and the heat.
It does. It just messes
anyway,
them up.
It ends on Friday. So if you're listening to this immediately, you can go to Bring a Trailer. You can bid on it. You can go to YouTube. You can watch the videos. You can see the Bring a Trailer listing. It's all up on the YouTube CarCast channel.
For a world record, right?
That's it. We're going for a world record. I mean, I would be perfectly fine with that. A world record would be fine. I've got nothing against setting a record for a SAC car. If you feel like you don't really have the money and you don't want to get a SAC car, that's no problem. You can still go to the website and buy plenty of Bravago. You can go to drinkbravago.com and you could sit there and have a cocktail and dream about the car that you weren't able to get and the car that I had to sell so I can make more booze. Anyways, thinking about what else is going on.
I still think you should have just wrapped the car in Bravago and just, just kept it.
Made a promotional piece out of it,
but that would have been your new advertising budget.
That would have been my whole budget. I would have blown it all on a wrap.
And then you wouldn't have been able to drive the car because you wouldn't want to put any miles on it. So I see what you're saying.
Speaking of wraps, Ford is saying that they're going to offer the new Mustang with a matte PPF. From the factory, and you can get it on any color option. So if you can get any of the gloss painted cars, and if you wanted a matte paint protection film on it, they'll offer it up on any of the cars, on any of the colors. They're going to do the coupe first, and then the convertible will come after it. It's going to be $5,995 and we'll have a 3-year 36,000 mile warranty on the wrap. It's kind of interesting. I don't know why they're just offering a matte version.
Well, because it comes glossy. I guess they don't care about it. I think what they're doing, when you read the release, that it adds almost another color option. They're doing it almost like another paint color rather than the protective end of it. But I'm just impressed that since you're a big Ford guy, they named it after you and they're calling it a matte clear. So that's great.
I'm trying to share the screen so you can see it, but I don't know if you can see it. Do you see the video playing right now?
I do not see the video playing.
You do not see the video playing right now.
It's just a lead in. It just says what it is.
Oh, well now it's.
Now that it frees up and.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's see if
there we go.
That'll work. I don't know where it's going.
But I mean, it's because there are more and more people that want that matte finish. So I think it's just an option that they probably talked about with the dealers and they're doing it that way.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just kind of an interesting idea. And it'll be on the coupe and the convertible at some point.
It's interesting that their promotional photo, when they say it can be available in any color, they didn't choose a real vibrant color and put it over like a red or a blue. They use that more muted tone.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting that I saw that as well. But I don't know why they didn't pick that or the crazy blue color shifting one. If you can get it in that color, I don't know why they didn't.
I bet if you put the matte over it, it doesn't color shift anymore, though. It probably just turns into some weird. I wonder what you don't think about.
Yeah,
it.
I don't have thought about it because if you think of like. The Cobra back in like 04, you can get it in the Mystic Chrome.
Right.
And what if you wrap that matte? I don't know what that does.
I don't know.
That's kind of interesting because I've seen some interesting colors. Like if you take something like silver, and silver has metallic in it and reflects a lot of light. And then I've seen that with a satin clear coat over it, which gives it like a muted, like frosted effect.
Uh-huh.
But the metallic still reflects some light. So in certain angles, it's got kind of like an ice cube effect, right? Like not a perfectly clear, kind of the white cloudy ice cube.
Right.
To it. And then
it gets muddy is what it, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting though. I don't remember where I first saw that. It was before they did the matte wraps. This was a satin clear.
Yeah.
That was sprayed over it, right?
Well, you know, maybe it just makes the car disappear entirely because, you know, do you know what lenticular is? Lenticular are the, remember the little things you had when you were a kid and they looked like, you know, a regular guy and then you turned it the other way and he was a clown or something. It made the image change. They came in little plastic things. The government's been working with lenticular. I read this really interesting article to where they found out if they do hard plastic in a lenticular and they bend it, whatever's behind it goes away. So like if they had a tank sitting in a forest, they use that as one of their examples, and put this in front of it, you see the forest, but you don't see the tank. So maybe it'd be the same thing, Matt. They put this over it and the car just goes away. It's just four wheels driving down the road.
Yeah. There's a few things on the side of the road and underneath the bridge over here. Some of our community that it'd be nice if we didn't see them.
Those things.
on a regular basis on the way here. Tesla Roadster.
Still a thing?
It's still a thing. And it's been in the news today because I guess Elon Musk put something out there saying the Tesla Roadster is going to come out next year. On the website, they had some lofty ideas. 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds, 250 mile an hour top speed, 620 miles of range. If you thought that was already crazy, well, Elon Musk is saying the car is going to come out, and he goes, even if you can call it a car, and he's saying sub 1 second, 0 to 60. That seems a little much.
Now, am I not mistaken that this car was announced before the Cybertruck?
Yes.
Not so.
Yes, I keep trying to share the video.
And sub 1 second, 0 to 60, the average driver and even the above average driver could not handle that in most situations. Like, you know how we, you know, might be getting on the freeway or something? That is so incredibly fast that
it's so fast.
A lot of mistakes are going to be.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Yes, a lot of unfortunate injuries, I think. Damage to the car could possibly get. Listen, I know I brought this up before, but years ago over at, remind me now, the track out in Palm Springs.
Thermal.
I was, I don't know why I just couldn't remember that for a second. I was at Thermal doing this F1 experience and we drove some Lotus Evoras for a while. And then at the end of the day, we got to hop into, basically a repurposed Lotus F1 car with the V10.
Oh, I remember when
it was detuned a little bit, but it was just crazy, crazy, nutty fast. And I got to get in that car and really just kind of open it up on that straight and just it's so fast and you're hitting the gears. It's just like zit, zit, zit. It's like bang, 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 like your first three gears in an instant. And it's funny, you're watching like in movies where you start to get this blurred, like tunnel vision, you know, like you're going warp speed, you know, in Star Trek or something. Yeah, and
perspective's skewed.
You do kind of get a version of that with that much acceleration going that fast. I'd be curious to hear from some of the drag racing friends of ours on what their sensation is, and is it something they just sort of get used to or don't even really notice anymore? But for me, instantly, I kind of got that sensation and almost had that tunnel vision. And I don't know how fast that was, 0 to 60. It wasn't 1 second. I can tell you that.
No,
it wasn't nearly that fast. It felt fast. And of course you're essentially in a convertible with just a helmet on. but it's fast enough that you have a full face helmet that as you're going it without, you know, cause the helmet was just sort of borrowed. It wasn't like the right helmet, the proper fit and everything. The helmet starts to lift and pull your head up, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, I mean, the car looks cool. And these are all the concept drawings for it that are up on the website, the renderings and stuff for it. But I don't know.
It's swoopy, it's cool, but man, let's see what really happens, you know?
Okay, now the Rimac, which is an incredibly fast all-wheel drive electric car, one of the fastest things out there. I think they tested their 0 to 60 in 1.74 seconds.
Which is crazy fast.
Which is crazy fast. So for this Roadster to be faster than that, I think it's going to be a little tough. That's my thought. I think it's going to be a little tough.
No, if it's sub-second, it'll be really tough. It'll be a tough car. I don't know if you saw the social media post, but somebody said that in the real world, one of his Cybertrucks were tested out. There was a truck down, I think it was Atlanta, that somebody pulled up alongside a guy in one and unloaded on him. And all it was the side window was broken. You know, you could see the, like a bullet had hit it, and the whole side of it was peppered with dents, but none of them penetrated. And they were like, wow, okay, a real world test, you know? And so somebody tried to take somebody out, and they were saved by their Cybertruck. So,
you know, if you listen to CarCast earlier in the week or whatever it was last week, the last show with Alistair Weaver, they got their hands on a Cybertruck for a week and they did their photo shoots. They did some testing on it. They did their range test. And it was basically saying the Cybertruck is the only Tesla that they've tested so far that met the estimated range.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Now, the range is, I think it was 340 miles was the estimated range, but the one they tested had the off-road tires, which is rated at like 320, I think, and they might have even beaten it. They might have gotten like 326 or something out of it. You'd have to go back and listen to that episode to hear the actual explanation that Alistair gave and the actual numbers, but it was interesting. And he said it was actually really interesting to drive. It was very comfortable. He liked the interior. It's definitely polarizing. Everybody notices you. Everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to take pictures. It's big, it's heavy, but not as heavy as you think. Even with the stainless, I think it was a little bit lighter than both the Rivian and the Ford Lightning, which I didn't expect. We chatted a bit about using it as a truck, and it doesn't have a lot of, let's say, the more common truck features that we expect, like, you know, like a step to get into the bed or, you know, the little fold out ladder that Ford has, or now everybody has funky tailgates and they can open it, you know, down or to the side and has a door and just things like that. You can't really do.
So it's a pickup truck circa 1996.
Yeah, it kind of is. It has kind of a conventional tailgate and you kind of have to run and dive to get into it. If you're my height, basically,
you got to jump down from it.
You know, there was a little storage space in the bed, in the floor of the bed. I think Rivian has that. And I want to say the Honda Ridgeline because it might have an independent rear. Now, for some reason, it's not large enough to put a spare tire, So if you want a spare tire, that has to be an option that you get, and it goes in the bed of the truck.
Yeah, it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm starting to see a few on the road because I'm near a Tesla facility.
I see a bunch of them. Yeah.
And it's cool looking. And I told Alistair I want to drive it. So when he gets a chance, they ordered theirs, some launch edition version or whatever. They ordered theirs. It's not in yet. They're still waiting for the updates on it, but it's basically bought, paid for. That
one problem with stainless steel cars, and it was with the DeLorean when it first came out as well. Yeah. They look fantastic when they're clean, but you drive them in the rain and they look horrible.
Yes.
I mean, think of what your refrigerator with just some fingerprints and stuff on it looks like.
Yeah.
They don't look any better. They don't.
Well, and so people are getting some surfaced rust issues and I guess that's being addressed. Tesla has some recommendations on how to clean it and stuff, but you might know this. So one of the things we brought up was it's stainless steel and it only comes plain stainless or with a wrap on it. And the wrap, I'm sure, would protect it. I don't know if there's much moisture that gets underneath the wrap, if it prevents any sort of rust. If you put a wrap on it and then took it off in, you know, a year or two, what's the stainless going to look like? Is it perfect?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's fine, but it's difficult to get paint to stick to stainless, especially without a primer. And I'm sure they've gotten much better over the years. We understand why DeLorean didn't do it, but maybe not necessarily sure why Tesla isn't really doing it. But I wonder if there's a clear coat that would stick. And I'm guessing Tesla might have looked into it and said it wouldn't be able to meet whatever sort of warranty claim.
Exactly. That's going to be the problem. The DeLoreans, some of them in the aftermarket, you'd see a red one or a black one from time to time, and they looked fantastic. But it's just what you said, Matt. It might work for an individual, but you know, the rigorous salt tests and all of that that the paint has to hold up to, it's not going to hold up to it. So,
and even if you can get paint to stick, a lot of that is going to be based on the primer. But doing a clear coat on the stainless, there's no primer. I just don't know how it would work. So I can see why they didn't do it. But the wrap is interesting, and now they've offered more colors in the wrap. They have a black and the white, and they have like a rose gold and something else. But just kind of interesting. So last week we got into that quite a bit. But Apple's been working on an electric car, and the goal was to be an autonomous car, and nearly 10 years now and arguably billions of dollars, we don't know the exact amount, and 2,000 people are in that program, the Apple electric car program, and they just decided to shutter it. They were reviewing the whole thing and they said, we're still going to be years away from having this, and they're like, we're done. So I think a lot of the employees are going to be spread out among the company and working on AI, the future of AI for them. And then I don't know, there's probably going to be a handful of employees that will be laid off that were a little bit more on the car specific side and a little less on the programming and software side of things. But seems like.
And they, you know, when they did that, I thought it was going to be one of those really interesting things, but then it just kept dragging, which is so strange for Apple, not to get something, have strong objectives and milestones, and then come out, and it just kept dragging. It was kind of like an indicator for a long time.
We're going to keep the show a little bit shorter. The last thing I was just going to touch on real quick, for those of you guys with the Ford Bronco, if you have a Ford Bronco and you do a lot of off-roading and stuff for it, there is a Ford Performance is offering a steering upgrade for it. So you can buy it. It's about $1,300, but it does need a software update as well. And it's got.
I understand it's a whole package for them, right?
Yeah, it's a higher torque motor. It's got a reinforced gear, stronger inner tie rods. It's got improved articulation overall. It's kind of much beefier kit. I think it's already standard on the 2024 Badlands and Sasquatch. But if you had anything previous to that and some of the other models, you can.
No, it's like they've gone stronger on those, so now you can retrofit your earlier one just to have that.
Yeah, they found a weak link and they're offering it as an upgrade. I don't think everybody needs it. If you're just mostly driving around town and stuff, I don't think you need it. But
yeah, it's for anyway. Somebody who's really going to use their Bronco. Yeah. And
when I did the Bronco Raptor off-rodeo thing, they were talking about that vehicle with the engineers, and so much of that is beefed up compared to the regular Bronco.
Right.
The steering components, the suspension components, the frame, all the attachment points for the suspension is really kind of beefed up. But anyway, I think we're gonna wrap things up. Appreciate you filling in today and joining us.
Not a problem.
Those for you guys that are listening, you want to see this on YouTube, you can check it out. Of course, go to bondspeedwheels.com. That's Brad's company.
Please.
You can custom order your set of wheels and follow Brad. We'll throw a link up in the video description as well. He's Bradley_Fanshawe on Instagram. And we'll link to that, like I said, in the video as well. Is there anything I'm missing?
Make Matt's Mustang a record seller, okay? That's what we want.
Yeah, go buy that car. You got to hurry, though, because this show's going to go up on like a Wednesday and the auction ends in like 2 days. So you're gonna get to see all the exciting stuff there at the end of the auction. Hopefully it doesn't just flatten out. But we got a little bit of ways to go. But
cool.
Yeah, anything else, Matt? I'm missing, Brad? Bondspeedwheels.com. Is there anything else?
Well, they can go to Bondspeed Wheels on Instagram as well. Check it out. And like Matt said, we make wheels for everything from hot rods to exotics and everything in between. Your trucks, everything.
Everything's custom ordered. So you
all built to order.
Call, talk to Brad, right, tell him what you want. If you're doing something custom.
Right here in Anaheim. So.
Cool. I got Bondspeed Wheels on my lot.
Support U.S. made. There you go.
There you go. All right, Brad, thanks so much. I'll let you guys go.
Thank you.
Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.